I'm Miss Cleo. Call me now. Your Twitter's leaking. And this is Sparta. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
Today's episode of MSP Dispatch is brought to you by Cyber Drains Capture the Flag. A CTF oriented at system administrators and engineers instead of cybersecurity experts. This event is designed to test the skills of everyone in the MSP space so that they can show off what they can do. Beginning February 14th, 2023, with no cost to enter, anyone anywhere in the world is welcome to join up to 1,000 players. And to get an idea of the amazing prizes up for grabs, take a look at last year's awards, including a streamer starter pack, a PS5, a Nintendo Switch, and thousands of dollars in Amazon gift cards, plus more. Be sure to visit ctf.cyberdrain.com to register today. Oh, and one more thing. From all of us here at MSP Dispatch, we'd like to wish Simon Escobar a very happy birthday.
Good morning and welcome to the January 3rd episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Good, brother. Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! And we started off right. I'm not muted. You're on fleek. You're in the yellow.
I'm sorry.
It's a great way to start the year, dude.
I can't hear you. I'm just kidding.
That's my New Year's resolution, to not go muted at all. Just, yeah, that might end up with some bad clips and bloopers online, but you know, that's how we do it here. Speaking of stuff online, I'm going to name three things and you tell me what they have in common. The Harlem Shake, What the Fox Say, and twerking.
Oh, all things I can never unsee. Ever. Like, this is the come a chameleon. Like, now everyone's going to be singing that. It's literally.
Yes.
it's there. Talk to me.
All right. So those are all things that are now 10 years old as of this year. This article, actually provided to us by Phil, our media editor, lists 10 things, including Dogecoin, the Wrecking Ball song, twerking. I'd love to know the nascency of twerking. That's a whole other thing. But these are all things that came about in 2013, which seems like so long ago, right? It seems like forever ago. Florida man was not born in 2013. Yeah. No way in hell. I mean, I'm 43, so. I'm calling BS, but these are cool stuff. Do you remember what you were doing when you heard What the Fox Say for the first time?
It was ironically what ready for some dolphins? What the
were there dolphins?
What did I just hear? Like, and you guys are listening to this. Am I the only one where my brain is actually not? I'm shorting out. Like, I can't. I feel like I'm having like a seizure inside, but you guys seem to be accepting this. I am not accepting it very well. So, what's going to happen in 10 more years?
Listen, let's do something we haven't done all year long. Let's get into some stuff.
Let's do it. Let's get into the news.
In our top story for the new year, very first story of the new year, we're going to be covering Dave Sobel's Business of Tech forecasts or predictions for the 2023 channel. He makes five, and we're going to cover the top two, maybe three. Joining us to talk about him is Dave Sobel, the host of Business of Tech. How you doing, Dave?
I am great. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, man. And before we get started on these predictions, I want to be real clear. You do this yearly. You did do another video where you went over your 2022 predictions, and you know, you went over each one if they were accurate or not, holding yourself to that accountability. So I do invite everybody, we'll put the link in the show notes, go watch and see how well he did last year so he can score them for 2023. But Dave, you brought in five really interesting ones, and we'll put the link to the video so they can go back to that and watch all of them. But I want to hit on the Huntress and Avik one. You called Huntress, your words were, it was the sleeper in the M&A space.
Yeah. So what was interesting to me is as we went through 2022, you know, I'm trying to make calls and get a sense of who's a buyer, who's a seller, because, and I laugh on this, everyone always thinks this is all a surprise when these transactions happen. And you can actually sort of watch for it if you just know who's got the war chest and who's shopping and who's not. Auvix surprised me this year when they did as many acquisitions as they did. So as I dug into it, it's like, oh, wait a second, their war chest is way bigger than I thought it was. Meaning they're on the buyer side of this. You should expect them to be bulking up if that's their strategy. And then as I dug into that, I was running through the numbers, it's like, wait a second, Huntress's number is not small either. Like, they've raised enough money to make them a distinct acquirer in the space. And you can see it. Like, it would make sense if you're Huntress and you want to build out be a full security platform for MSPs, buying some stuff makes sense.
Their latest round was what, $100 million was the last one?
Yeah, over $100 million. So that's a sizable haul, right? You can buy a bunch of companies for that much money. And I think it's really important to look at, like, well, who's a buyer, right? We want to understand who the companies are that are going to be making acquisitions, and then maybe how much of that they're going to put into building new technology.
So pulling on those tea leaves a little bit. So Huntress is a very unique kind of buyer, in my opinion, because they focus so much on the altruistic side. Yes, they're a business. Yes, they're financially driven. Absolutely no question. But they focus so much on the protecting the 99% is their tagline. They are traditionally extremely cautious with who they will bring into the fold, which does limit significantly the potential for who they could buy. You want to guess at who maybe some of the ones they might possibly be looking at are?
Well, I'd look at it from a category perspective, right? And by the way, I would actually push back and say I'm not necessarily sure they're as unique as you might say. Like, I'd actually put Acronis in that same bucket. Because they're also super altruistic, like big, you know, big giving arm to them, as well as very particular about the way they buy. So it actually looks a little bit more like that. And they might, if you're trying to think forward, it's like maybe they're trying to bulk up to look like that. But you ask, like, who they buy. Well, you know, you can easily see that they would want to buy somebody maybe in the training space, you know, somebody doing more on the ability to offer security training, you know, complementary security technologies. You know, they don't have an email technology. It seems like everybody owns a backup technology. Maybe they want to own something there, right? Like, something in the, you know, something more in the encryption space. You know, you could sort of look and say, like, if you view them as a platform, where might they bulk out to? And then we could then go a little further and say, you know, then if you want to figure out who, it's like, well, who's doing, you know, $5 to $10 million in revenue in the space that might be an acquisition.
So similar to the way, and Acronis is a good analog because Acronis is brought in a lot to be this whole ecosystem to be a singular player for that MSP. Regardless of what technologies are trying to do, they want it all to be Acronis if possible, right?
And then or plug in, right? They take this platform approach where they want you to default to their platform, knowing you can also use something else if you want to go a particular best in breed, but you'll fall back to them as the platform. It's a play that we're seeing pretty standard both in MSP, but you also see it larger in the software space in general.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and then your other prediction I wanted to cover, Austin McCord, right? You talked about the NDAs possibly running out if, you know, they're your traditional timelines, two years, three years, whatever they happen to be. You know, and you mentioned him possibly going back into the MSP space. What did you mean by that exactly?
Well, so for me, the incident that happened was this summer when during the back and forth with Kaseya and the noise that we talked about this a little bit, right? He was super, you know, he got involved in a way that's a little non-traditional. He's a smart guy, right? I'm assuming that there's an intention behind the moves that he does. So I was trying to figure out why would that make sense? Well, if you're looking and considering betting back in the space, you'd want to hire people, right? You'd want to send a positive message. And that was my thinking at the time. And so as I string it all together and I'm thinking, well, what might happen this year? I'm looking for, like, well, who might come back in? The numbers all line up, right? You don't know. Like, I might be completely could be wrong. We'll find out in a year from now, right? But you're looking, you're trying to make a prediction, like, who's going to make moves as owners or investors, and it lines up. It's like, well, the timelines line up for expiration dates on NDAs, and I'm looking, saying, well, if he's thinking about it, he's done all the bits that would string it together. Makes sense to me. And he's a young guy, right? You want to do your next adventure. He may, you know, decide, I want to build something again. I want to invest something more heavily and lead it.
And that's one of the, you know, going back and looking, I think the last time you were on the show, we were talking specifically about holding him to the carpet where he had done this post where he was basically, you know, hemming and hawing at the way Datto's company was being treated after the acquisition. But you called, you know, very astutely that he was on the seller side. He could have set certain guidelines as to what was going to happen, but it stands to reason that he wanted to keep his good faith, the confidence in the MSP community with his name, because if he's going to do something else, he still wants that to be able to fall back on.
Exactly. It makes perfect sense. It's a very, and again, could be the right thing to do for a reason. it all sort of lines up, right? It's like, okay, this makes some sense to me. And, you know, again, one of the things that I always think is interesting is as we look at these moves, MSPs in particular tend to immediately focus on the, well, what's going to happen to me? It's like, well, actually, if you want to figure out why these things are happening, you have to get into their head. You have to get into their thinking of the why they're making these moves. And so I said, well, he made this move. I want to figure out why. This makes logical sense to me as a next set of steps.
And speaking of why, your other prediction, the third prediction was about Fred Vakola and Kaseya, about how he's, and that's a good teaser for going to see Dave's video.
I do go into some depth in what I think is going to happen with Kaseya this year. So we'll see. And laid out a couple of scenarios there.
And two different videos on predictions. Absolutely go see his content. I'll leave it to Phil to pin them somewhere. And they'll be in the show notes as well. Dave, thank you so much as always. We appreciate you, especially taking off from your vacation to come on and spread the word for us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Ray. Always fun.
All right. Take care.
Coming in with my first story in security from cybernews.com, Twitter data has leaked. Over 400 million user details are now up for sale. According to the post on the hacker forum, the data scrape was possible due to an unnamed vulnerability. Data leaks of such scale are often possible due to system flaws that allow harvesting information at scale, a practice known as scraping. Threat actors selling the leaked data addressed Twitter's CEO, Elon Musk, pointing out that his company is already facing repercussions from European authorities for leaking data of 5.4 million users in July. On December 23rd, Ireland's Data Protection Commission launched a probe into Twitter over July's data breach. A data leak affecting 400 million Twitter users would fuel a smoldering fire around Musk's company data security practices. Ray, I'm trying to read this in a factual, statistical way. I'm freaking out inside. First day into the new year. And oh, by the way, an additional 400 million. Before we were talking about, hey, listen, 10,000 users, their data was, you know, made available. Then it was 50,000. 100,000 users in the hundreds of thousands. That's, come on, that's rookie. 400 million users. Is anything safe now? Give me your thoughts.
So remember that time, those times we talked about Elon and firing everybody at Twitter, all those videos?
We never talked about it. Not once.
Not once. I have to admit, I have to hope that of the 50 remaining Twitter employees, somebody works in security.
Almost 12 people that are left in the staff. Wow. Is anything safe? I mean, let's call it as it is. 400 million users, their data was leaked, which means private information, the name, the phone number, the email address, that is now available and it's correlated. There's possibly a mailing address. There's possibly a personal email address in addition to a work email address because there's a, you know, recovery email address. There's a cell phone number in there. We have equivalent of a major, major database for social engineering episodes following for the years ahead. Is anything safe and what can someone do regularly to offset this? Is there, can you think of an answer? I'm throwing noodles at the wall, seeing what sticks.
I mean, okay. I wish I could say it was desired state configuration. So I could like throw that out there for the year.
I love that term. It's like, oh.
No, I mean, you know what? This is a good case for you should have password managers. You should have, I'm not a fan of dark web monitoring. I'll be the curmudgeon and say, I think it's all hullabaloo. It's all BS. Yes, that is my vocabulary now, but you know, having different passwords per site, using your password manager, whether or not that's LastPass, we'll leave it to the previous episode and the comments from today from the YouTubes. You know, having TOTP, MFA, whatever you want to do. Having security questions that are different per site. One of the things I don't know who I stole this from, but I did it years ago. My security questions, my answers are never the answers to the security questions. They're just random answers I use that I rotate through. And I do have a little system of, you know, the first word and whatever BS, but it's not a, what city were you born in? Well, it's not a city on this planet. You know what I mean? You have to have something just for that one little extra edge, right? Twitter at the end of the day, with the exception of payment information, which there's no indication that that's what was stolen, my phone number, my email address, my address, these are things that are publicly available. Anyway, if I'm on a public platform, I'm treating it as it's public. Any information I'm going to give Twitter is public. Now, maybe you want to think a little more carefully before you start tying into other services that also shares data, right? I'm the first to say I love it when I can Facebook login. I love when I can M365 login or Google login. I absolutely love it. But you got to be real careful as far as giving stuff away. And you ask what's important about for the MSPs, how do they take this away? Well, when you're Microsoft 365 tenants, you know this very well, by default, it's anybody can authorize any application. Everybody has the authority to do so. One of the first things an admin should do, and I'll throw one up there for CIPP.app, Kelvin's project and friends, is the ability to lock it down so that only admins can consent to new apps, or either individually or on behalf of the organization. Don't spread who has access to your data. Tony, am I missing anything here? Besides obviously the sacrifice and, you know, the pitchforks. Am I missing anything?
No, you nailed it. Let's be blunt. In the IT world, we all know you can either choose simplicity or security. You can't have both. There are instances where I have seen a combination, a very, very nice combination, but traditionally we have to choose between simplicity and security, and being simplistic and having a single username and password for every account you have out there, there's going to be a cost. 400 million now out there. I'm going to go in my internal anxiety attack and let's move on to the next story.
And my third top story in the business section, written by Bruce Daisley for Wired.com. These days, the demand for flexibility and where to work has risen. According to Roz Kudry, an economist from Harvard Business School, top talents are no longer satisfied with hybrid work. They want to work from wherever they want. None of this is new information. Data by Stanford economist Nick Bloom shows that June 2020, most companies expected work from home to be 1.5 days per week. However, the past 2 years saw work from home expectation rise every month. Most firms now expect workers to work from home for almost half the week. Chaudhuri explains that there are two types of companies, one that will embrace the work from home model and the other will be in denial. He added that in trying to drag back time, the latter would likely lose some of their best talent and force these companies to catch up. The cultural shift gives startup firms an edge. In 2023, we'll see startups migrate to remote first. However, established companies would have to decide whether to continue paying for rent and slow to evolve managers or adapt to the new trend. Tony, work from home, we've been talking about it for a while. It's not new. I absolutely do agree. You have the old guard where, you know, they're seeing this as a, you have to be partly in the office. You have to be partly work from home. They're kind of moving that target a little bit as they see. And then this new breed of companies that are just saying work from anywhere you want and you wouldn't have a lawsuit against you for not paying rent. Maybe Elon needs to take note. You know, is this matching what you're seeing in the market today?
We've been talking about this for a while. So, for those of you who are just new to the episode last year, 80 episodes, we talked about this multiple times. Because remember, we just got out of COVID and COVID, forced everyone's hand into a work at home environment, which completely exposed supply chain management issues for webcam. For everyone tried to get a webcam for a while. Absolutely impossible. That $35 Logitech was now $200. And it was impossible. And now you had to wait two weeks to get it. So the point I'm trying to make is that there's a lot of operational underpinnings involved in working at home and managing remote workers as well. So you have to implement KPIs, and you have the appropriate tools to accommodate that. So, full circle back to the beginning of something that I preached regularly. I've created three companies. I've had people working at home since, for the last 30 something years. And it comes down to this: create your policies first, create the processes that are required, and then purchase the mechanisms, the software to support the processes. It's completely inverted in the outside world. People buy software first, and then they wrap their processes around those mechanisms, and then they bolt on policies. I don't see that to be conducive or very productive, because you're at the will or the vision of the mechanism, the software that you're purchasing. But times are a-changing. And they are now starting to realize that these KPIs, those key point indicators that they can set up for their customers to show that they're doing business, can now be appropriated internally for their internal team as well, with the mechanisms that automate a lot of the day-to-day laborious challenges. So you're starting to define and mature the policies and processes along the way. So the point I'm trying to make, Ray, is we've talked about this so many times, and I'm fascinated that we're still talking about it. This is an eventuality. This is not an arguable topic. Talk to me.
Is this the MFA for business owners? Is this like everybody should be using MFA, but for some reason people still don't? Work from anywhere should be an option, but for some reason it's still not. Is this going to be that battle, but for the business owner versus the end user?
That is an amazing question, because I think it's analogous to, hey, you can use these services where you can now don't have to host it internally. You can actually subscribe to a hosted service application, Office 365, for example. You do that, you need to implement an MFA, because the cost of exporting that security is to implement another layer, a small practice to ensure your security. You can have people work at home, but the cost of that is implementing another layer of documented policies, processes, and you have the appropriate tools for them to work at home. There's a small step that has to be – everything has a cost. Let's be blunt. And there's a small cost to be paid for having completely removed the landscape, the geographical landscape for workers. Now they can be anywhere at all times, and you can reduce your pay scale. You can increase your effectiveness as long as you have the appropriate tools and making sure that everyone's doing the right thing at the right time.
So that makes me wonder, I mean, we all did this, right? Every MSP on the planet kind of enabled their clients to work from home or work from anywhere in the beginning of COVID. I wonder how many have embraced this as an ongoing service that they offer, where taking existing, because something MSPs do is they look at existing business and the better ones say, we can gain these operational efficiencies. We can make these things flow smoother. We can retain revenue a little better. These are the very mature MSPs that are doing this. I wonder how many are going and saying, and including, hey, we see you're doing this. The current business trends are to work from anywhere. So have more happy employees, more productivity, blah, blah, blah. We have a process to enable this. I wonder how many MSPs are proactively going after their customers and offering this. If you're one of the MSPs that are, tell us in the comments. If you're one of the MSPs that aren't, tell us in the comments too. Let us know. We want to hear from you. I think that wraps us for this one. Tony, you got some notables for us?
I do. In my first notable mention, Apple's battery replacement prices are going up. $20 to $50. In TheVerge.com, Apple is raising its price of getting a new battery installed in most iPhones, iPads, and Macs starting on March 1st, 2023. The company made the announcement on the device's repair page and small text under its price estimator. How much is the price going up? Well, it depends on what product you have. For iPhones, it's simple. Apple's site says the, quote, out-of-warranty battery service fee will be increased by $20 for all iPhone models prior to iPhone 14. For phones with a home button, That means your price will be going up $49 to $69. And for Face ID phones, that means it'll be going from $69 to $89. Those prices, by the way, are put in place in 2019. After Apple ran a year-long promotion where you can get a new battery for $29 to make up for its battery throttling controversy. In my next notable mention from thehackernews.com, WordPress sites are being targeted by a previously unknown strain of Linux malware that exploits flaws in over 24 plugins and themes to compromise vulnerable systems. The attack involves weaponizing lists of known security vulnerabilities in 19 different plugins and themes that are likely installed on a WordPress site, using it to deploy an implant that can target a specific website to further expand the network. Please see our show notes for a complete list. But here's a few of the targeted plugins and themes: WP Live Chat Support, WP GDPR Compliance, WordPress Ultimate FAQ, WP Live Chat, WooCommerce, and Rich Reviews. Please see our show details for further notes, and please, please, please patch your WordPress plugins and themes.
In my top notable mention, Twitter sued for non-payment of rent on San Francisco office, written by Robert Bernson for Bloomberg. Columbia Wright, 650 California LLC, sued Twitter for failing to pay $136,250 in rent for its office space in San Francisco. Twitter was notified on December 16, 2022, that its lease would default on December 21st unless it was paid. The company failed to comply. The New York Times reported last month that Twitter hasn't paid its rent in its headquarters or global offices in weeks. The company was also sued in early December for refusing to pay two charter flights. Twitter, which doesn't have a media department, has yet to comment. In my second notable mention, ransomware attack at Louisiana Hospital impacts 270,000 patients, written by Bill Tulis on Bleeping Computer. The Lake Charles Memorial Health System, LCMHS, is sending out notices to 270,000 patients that may have been affected by a data breach that occurred in October 21st, 2022. Although the company said that the attack did not reach its electronic medical records, the investigation showed that the hackers gained access to its network and stole files with patient information such as full names, addresses, dates of birth, medical records, patient identification numbers, health insurance, payment information, and in some cases, social security numbers. The Hive ransomware group took responsibility for the attack on November 15, 2022. The group claimed that it encrypted the organization's systems on October 25th, the day LCMHS confirmed the breach. In our feedback from the YouTubes on our December 23rd episode regarding LastPass, Crazy Nova says, "I'm out, moving all my stuff on there, off." We asked them, "Okay, where are you moving to?" And they responded, "Bitwarden." Also from our December 30th show regarding Okta, Rahul Nair says, "It is really concerning news regarding Okta, considering this can show more potential vulnerabilities in their system. We'll have to keep eyes peeled for possible future attacks." Okta and LastPass, I agree with you 100%. Okta and LastPass are in a very small pool of companies that have been repeatedly breached and lost information. So I'm there with you.
And jumping into the community events, tomorrow on January 4th, 2023 at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Build It Better, MSP discussion presented by Everything MSP. On January 5th through the 7th, an in-person event, CES Las Vegas. On the 6th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch Weekly Wrap-Up presented by the MSP Media Network. And finally on the 6th at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 38 at 38, episode number 8 with Rhett Mullins.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So, how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it three times. I hear if you don't like the show, it actually causes me to get muted more often. So please go ahead and do it for all of us. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Bankey says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, we gave some predictions for the new year. We had awesome information from friends of the show, like Dave Sobel. I want to congratulate Matt Fox on this being his first MSP Dispatch episode in the background, running it. And I want to thank you for starting off the new year right with awesome news stuff.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate you. Well, I'm so excited about this year. The community feedback, the feedback, even the small, the funny comments, but the questions and, hey, I'm doing this, I'm moving to Bitwarden, I'm doing that. This is kind of scaring me. We love that stuff. So I think the whole thing is amazing, but I appreciate you, brother. The entire team is amazing. For those of you who haven't seen it, watching Matt log in once in a while with just his quiet look of disapproval and judgment and then fading off, it's priceless. It's awesome. Welcome to the team, Matt. There it is.
That's actually, that's one of the minimum criteria for being my friend. Can you look at me with disappointment?
Say so much.
Well, I think that makes for an awesome episode. Until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves and each other.
Happy New Year, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
We are mucking about on Matt's first day, making him the usual trial by fire.
Oh, totally. You know what?
I just pulled a total ray. I was speaking for like a minute and a half. I had my dial all the way down to my user and my sound interface. I'm like, why am I being ignored? What am I? Hold on a second. Let me get another sip of high C.
In cybernews.com, Twitter is reporting that according to a post, I just messed up. Okay, hold on. Let me go cybernews.com. According to a post on the Hacker Forum, The Hacker Forum? What Hacker Forum? Oh, I'm sorry, one more time. I'm coming out of this new year hot. Here we go.
Yeah. You're ready to go. You got this, man. You got this.
According to a post, I can't even say it. Hold on.
We saw online.
Here we go. Okay. According to a post on a Hacker Forum, the data scrape was possible due to an unnamed vulnerability. Data leaks of such scale are often possible due to words are difficult. Give me just a moment, you guys. Something's happening here. You said, what does the fox say? And this is what happened. I just told you that my brain shorted out, and I know. Let's talk about the time. Hey,
guys, anyone smelling burnt toast? We good?
Am I having a seizure?
Is my eye drooping?
You smell? Yeah. my seizing right now? Okay, here we go. Here we go.
And my third top story in the business section, written by Bruce Daisley for Wild.com. Wild.com. That's a whole nother. We don't want to redirect people that way. Okay.
Wild.com.
Like wilding out. Like, all right. I mean, I'll give Phil more fodder. All right.
Jumping straight into my first notable mention. Apple has a battery
Hold on one second. Let me give okay. me a little time for a transition there.
That's thank good. You. There's thank a you. See, I totally knew. My brain was going so fast. It says, hey, maybe you should wait for Phil.
You're ready. You're ready.
That's what happened.
Okay. Exactly. I'm ready now, too. I'll get out of here.
The Hive ransomware group took responsibility for the attack on number. What does the fox say is one of the 10-year-old ones? Jesus.
Is that all we need now? He doesn't even have to say anything. Just look, comes in with this look of disappointment and judgment, yeah. And then leaves. And there's no words, but it says it all. Great. You have Matt on the team.
All right. All right. Here we go. Getting serious. We're doing the news.
Do it.
Big one for the year. All right. And some feedbacks from the YouTubes on our December 23rd episode regarding LastPass. Crazy Anova says, I'm out. Moving all my stuff off there. MSP need. I'm misquoting myself as a quoted from you. Like.
And so I was like, I
don't know. And I said, I have no idea, even though I wrote it. All right. I was muted.
You're on mute.
That's it. It's a wrap. We're done. Production's over. Go home.
Done. Jeez. Could make it one episode. That's the proper way to handle New Year's resolutions, honestly. If they're not broken the first week, you didn't do it right. So with that said, as my fridge, I've done this speech like 14,000 times.
You've already done it once.